Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast, episode 169.
Nice.
I'm back in the UK.
Hi.
How are you, pal? Are you good?
Good are you?
I'm all right. I'm not too bad.
Good.
Just like that, I've done another trip to the US. It was fun.
Yeah.
You didn't miss much, honestly.
No. I don't want to be there anyway.
Good. Today's episode, honestly, we've got too much to talk about.
Yeah, sometimes we start a podcast and we've got a few little nuggets here and there and we kind of freestyle it, don't we, willy-nilly. This is arguably, you know, like when you get a Subway, which ironically we've got on coming after this podcast, and it's almost too full of meatballs. And you want your meatballs, you paid for your meatballs, you want extra meatballs, but it's almost too full. It's hard to digest.
I think we could have brought out three different podcasts this week.
Yeah.
Almost a podcast for each one of the topics we've
charged
maybe
thrice.
In today's topic, or in today's episode, in a minute we're going to touch on America.
Yes.
And I might have a few little... A few little cheeky surprises under my desk.
That's what she said. What's your surprise?
It was a surprise. And then we're going to talk about the drama of the bloody Swilken Bridge.
Yes.
Bryson DeChambeau no longer with Cobra.
Yes.
Shock, shock.
That is huge news. You've seen from the title of this video, if you watched on YouTube and the thumbnail, if you're listening, I'm sure you've seen the title. Massive news on Bryson we're going to come on to.
We're also going to talk about your friend of mine, Dan Gavins.
Yep.
Trying his best to throw a tournament away.
That was insane.
But managing to hold on. We'll talk about that as well. Also, I know you're a bit jealous of this, and I think many people listening might be jealous. I've watched all of the episodes of Full Swing, the new Netflix documentary.
I am jealous. A Full Swing is available to us, Mia. What am I classed at? What do you class people as who've not seen it yet? Vermin. us normal folk who have to wait for Netflix things to come out to the public.
Yeah,
you've got to watch it early.
Netflix reached out to me and said, would you like early access? I went, yes. Yes, yeah. I do.
So for those people listening, watching, who aren't sure of Full Swing, we did touch on it a couple of weeks ago. It's that new documentary, which obviously you'll tell us much more about without any spoilers, ideally. Although most, it can't really be spoiled, can it? Because a lot of things have happened in life.
Yeah, should we talk about it now, actually?
Go on then. Tease me with this.
So it's 8 episodes.
Right.
They're roughly between 38 minutes and 50 minutes.
Okay.
Okay. And it's very much in the same ilk as the F1.
Drive to Survive. Yeah.
Great point. Each episode follows the lives of either one tour player or many times two tour players. And often when they follow two tour players, it's almost like they're at very different points in their lives.
Okay.
Now, without giving too much away, but I do think I can talk about it.
this podcast might never see the light of day.
For example, the first one is called Frenemies, and it's all about the story of Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas.
Nice.
That was a really interesting, because they're like competitors, but they're mates. Mm. That was really good. You've got Brooks Koepka and Scottie Scheffler. So again, that's another episode where Brooks Koepka has been at the peak, mm-hmm. and he's kind of, not saying he's on his demise. I don't want to get kicked out of any
since
nightclubs
beef
again.
With you.
I don't want to get kicked out of any nightclubs again. But yeah, he's obviously won up 4 majors and then kind of like struggling a little bit, mm-hmm. where you've got Scottie Scheffler come out of nowhere and he's winning majors left, right, and centre. So it's really, really interesting. I watched it also with my wife.
Did she watch them all with you?
Not all of them, because I watched a couple in America. We got early access in America, and then I watched the rest of them pretty much the last 2 days I've binged. I wanted to get her perspective of someone who really, truth be told, isn't into golf at all.
Did it change her perception?
I worry it didn't change her perception of golf mm-hmm. as a sport.
Okay.
I don't think now watching it, it's going to bring that many new people into the world of golf.
Right.
Okay. That's my honest opinion right now. But it really connects you to the people that they feature.
Yeah.
Like suddenly now I know a lot more about all these different tour players.
Yeah, I suppose in a way then that might if you are a kind of just a sports fan who's not a huge golf fan who decides to watch this on Netflix, which hopefully lots of people will do and it'll shine some more eyes on the sport we all love. If you do start to get behind a Scottie Scheffler or Brooks or whoever it might be, that may then give you the incentive to watch through the tournaments that they're playing in. You might have a bit of a favourite.
Possibly, yeah. You're probably right with that, actually.
Yeah.
Because, for example, I know your wife started watching Drive to Survive.
She loved it.
But she's got into the F1.
She's actually started watching F1, even without me. We'll come home on like a Sunday or whatever. She'll want to put the F1 on.
And is that because she's following her favourite driver now?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think she got behind some of the drivers and started to kind of, I think she quite likes Lewis Hamilton and a few of the drivers, but it was also that she kind of understood the sport a bit more because I was the same. It sounds silly and people who are hardcore F1 fans will probably cringe at this, but I just thought it was just cars whizzing around the track. Didn't really understand the whole thing of it. Once you have some very basic knowledge, and that's all I've got, very, very basic knowledge, you do understand the sport a bit more. And it's like that for golf people. I'm sure everybody knows that golf is getting a ball into a hole. That's as simple as that. But once you start understanding the rules a bit more, the importance of some of the tournaments, the different tours that there obviously are, which I know is explained quite a lot in this programme, the golfers, their personalities. I think golf is one of the sports where you probably show your personality the least, don't you, really?
Yeah.
So to actually see people's personalities, I think it will draw some new fans in, hopefully.
It definitely made me connect with golfers, the ones that featured differently. Mm. Like, I've got stronger opinions about those golfers.
Off the back of watching it, name me three guys from it that you would love to get on either the podcast or on a 10-shot challenge with yourself now.
1,000,000% Tony Finau.
Tony. Big Tone.
He's just the best.
He comes across as a nice guy in the stuff I have seen.
It's better than that.
Do you see his family? He's got quite a lot of kids, hasn't he?
Got five kids.
Wow.
His whole background, his upbringing, everything. Like that was one of the most fascinating episodes of the whole series. My wife loves him.
Yeah.
Like, thinks he's the best thing since sliced bread. And again, I suppose that now if I flicked on golf on the weekend, I was watching on the TV, she'd probably ask me, how's Tony getting on? Because she's now got a favourite.
Yeah.
So that episode was brilliant. Joel Damon.
Okay, yeah.
That was a really interesting story. Like, he's such a journeyman. He doesn't really seem to care. He's just uber talented.
Yeah.
They really touch on Liv.
Like in a negative way, or do you see positives as well?
You get to hear the opinion of players who move to Liv. I think you get a much more candid, honest opinion of why they move to Liv.
Money.
Yeah.
Time.
Yeah. But I don't think that always gets out in the press, does it? You know, sometimes when they do a press conference, I think they're a bit guarded.
I think what's weird about it is everybody knows, let's be honest, that players that have gone to Liv have gone for money and they've gone for time. That's the two reasons, isn't it? There's no really other reason to go, as far as I can think of. But yeah, not many guys, a handful have, not many have come out and actually said it as simple as that, have they? They've said how the format excites them and all this stuff, when really it's not that, is it? They would have played 3 days of stroke play if that's what it was, just normal, well, it is stroke, but you know what I mean, normal tee times, everything like that, or 4 days, whatever. But yeah, if guys are coming out and being honest about it, I think you almost respect them more for just being honest.
Yeah. The one thing I was hoping they would do, they followed the life a little bit about Joel Damon's relationship with his best friend, who is his caddy. You get a bit of that story. I would have probably wanted a bit more of that, a bit more of like the background of events.
Yeah.
Like what's, you know, even just an episode all about caddies or an episode all about manufacturers and tour trucks.
That would have been good.
I think there was, and again, I'm not sure if the F1 touched on that a little bit, but it seems so much focused on each episode was a new player.
Well, that was one thing in the F1. Because you only watched a couple of episodes.
Yeah,
of that,
I didn't watch
you?
Loads.
You did actually see a lot about the car manufacturers, is that the right term? You got to see the like head office, the history behind them all. Maybe the cars are a bigger deal in F1 than golf clubs are, I suppose, in golf. But still, that would have been quite nice to see some of that. We are going to touch on again Bryson and some of his golf clubs later in this podcast. I'm very excited to get stuck into that.
I would have loved to have seen a Bryson episode.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if he was ever tipped to be on it. I'm
not sure.
And I genuinely, they touched on Tiger almost in every single episode. I would have loved a Tiger episode.
Oh, that would be.
Just in his house, chilling. And because I do think the way that they shot the documentary, you really do get in you feel like you're part of their house. Yeah. It's amazing, actually. They've done a really good job. Netflix have done a great job. How much it's going to grow the sport, I don't know yet. Again, watching it, my wife, who's non-golfer, she definitely found more time for fans. She really liked Ian Poulter.
Right,
and she really liked Tony Finau. And I think because they're such family men.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe she doesn't know that about certain type of golfers.
I think it's a win-win because obviously this program isn't really designed to bring new golfers to the game. It's been brought to Netflix to obviously have a lot of eyeballs and make Netflix more money, I guess, or make people who have Netflix services perceive value that they're getting more content obviously streamed on the TVs, etc. If you're a golfer, there's a good chance you're going to watch it. From your small review there, it sounds pretty good. Rate out of 10.
I think series one is a strong 8.7 out of 10.
Perfect. So it's for golf
season two, could they could bring in Tiger, Bryson,
10.
And have me as a presenter, 10.
Oh, nine. Netflix. That's gone down. Bryson got me up. Netflix. Oh, that sounds. So Bryson and Tiger got me up. You brought me right back down again.
Netflix. Yep. Ring me. Season two.
We'll be ringing you in a minute saying, Rick, you're under NDA. You're not supposed to talk about the series.
I must admit, I've been a kid in the sweet shop getting like early access. I'm like, this is so cool. But yeah, no, it's really, really good.
Well, from a golfer's point of view, if you think it's an 8.7 out of 10, it sounds good. Hopefully some non-golfers like your wife will watch it, will enjoy it, will start to see some of the golfers as more than just golfers, as personalities, as nice people. It sounds like a bit of a win-win for everybody. Talk to me about America, though.
So last time we spoke, I was just about to go out to Bay Hill.
Yes.
These Break 75s are going to be coming soon. Bay Hill's the hardest golf course I've ever played in my life.
And they still break 75s or 95s?
I don't even know anymore. I don't even know. It was breaking Rick Shields episodes. Bay Hill. So I had the pleasure of playing with Arnold Palmer's son-in-law.
Nice.
I got to meet Amy Palmer. I think she's actually got a different name now, but Arnold Palmer's daughter.
Wow.
We got to go into the office of Arnold Palmer.
Oh, my word.
Which is hardly not, it's hardly changed. He wouldn't let us film in there, respectfully and understandably. I got to sit in his chair.
Oh my gosh.
And I got to sign the visitor book. Bay Hill as a venue is incredible. It's bloody hard. Like, honestly, guy, I'm not exaggerating this. If you're off the fairway, and I played off the bat tees, like 7,500 yards, if you miss the fairway, it's hard to find your golf ball.
Ouch.
The rough is not deep. But it's so thick. Like they were showing me the grass. They were pulling up the grass and like every single strand of grass was like multiplied by five. Mm. Like it was like five strands of grass every blade. So that was really good. So that's coming out. So we managed to get Isleworth with Ryan Ruffles. That's going to be cool, which I think I spoke about last podcast. Sawgrass, Bay Hill, and then another really exciting video where I surprised a few fans from the USA. Talking about surprises though, Guy. Segued in nicely. I brought some gifts back.
Oh, this is my favourite part of the show. You can go to America every week for me if you want. I'll give you permission, Rick. Well, the remote podcast, and then the week after you bring me back presents.
To the point where we had to buy another suitcase to come home.
Wow.
We bought so much stuff, okay? Where do you want to start with this?
Start at the worst and build me up.
Okay, we bought some things for the office.
Okay, so I want strictly what... Tell me what's mine and what's not mine, because I don't want to think something's mine if it's not.
Well... For people listening, make sure you watch the YouTube video on this. So we got giddy, okay? And I bought a couple of things in a sports shop, okay. Which is going to be in the office, and we've all become now American.
Why is Sam smirking behind the camera so much?
So, first thing.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
American football, like a mini
that.
One, okay?
I like that.
Second thing. This is... A secondhand baseball glove.
Wow.
And secondhand baseball.
Why secondhand? Just because it's already broken
in
a bit?
It'll come into another story in a minute.
Okay.
Because we had a friend that took us to a secondhand shop, obviously.
Okay. Yeah.
Stack golf.
Yeah.
Right, you ready?
Yeah. Am I throwing it to you?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Good catch.
Thanks, I've been practicing. So so that's for the office, okay?
Okay, yeah, great. The football's really good. Well, yeah, the American football is really
I've
good.
I've got a few other things for the office, and I'll come on to your presents. Okay.
Football's really nice.
For the office?
Player's flag, very nice.
Okay, so that might be in here or might be in the actual editing suite.
Harry, is it on me? Look at that. That's very good.
Also for the editing, for the podcast.
Oh, lovely.
A little Bay Hill flag. Oh. And for the table.
Oh, wow, Bay Hill.
We've got Bay Hill coasters. They are going to be on this table.
The audience is like, yes! Brilliant.
Do you want your bits?
Yeah, please.
where I'll start with this.
I'm nervous. How many bits are there altogether for me so I know what to, how many to expect?
Five.
Five presents.
Right. Let's start.
Did I get more than your children from your America trip?
Yeah, they only got one present.
Yes.
My wife only got one present. Right. So, first place we went to was Isleworth. Okay.
Oh, let's have a look.
I got you some, not all of these, but you can take your pick.
Oh, wow.
And then the rest of them are going to be for the lads. I saw you in that personally. So, we've got some Isleworth caps. We've got some TPC Sawgrass hats.
Wow. They are sick.
I paid for all this, by the way.
Okay. So I'll take one of each. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And then some Bay Hill hats.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Done.
There's a certain vibe for me where they're like black or dark grey.
Took those other ones back. So yeah, you've got Squan, black or dark grey.
Black or dark grey. Quite simple logo on the front. They're a bit of me then.
So you got three presents there. A hat from Isleworth, a hat from Bay Hill,
it's
and
like
a hat
a bin.
From Sawgrass. Okay.
Yeah.
So when you go to the driving range next, just stick your Bay Hill hat on. And they go, oh, you played Bay Hill? Just go,
no.
I've heard the rough really thick. Rough really thick. That's all you need to say.
Some really nice hats there. Thank you very much.
Presents continue.
Oh.
Oh, you've got six presents.
Oh, my God. This is good.
You got seven presents.
What the hell?
I've got you a pencil from both Isleworth and
okay, not
Bay
quite,
Hill.
Not quite as good, but I still appreciate it. It's really nice. Oh, they're premium though. They're not just any pencil.
Right, now also I'm going to take a seat for this. I've got one more final present, which actually wasn't from me, but I'm going to claim it.
Okay.
You mentioned before when we went to America.
Yes.
I've lost my breath a bit. Not that
it's emotional, right?
I'm not getting emotional. In the UK at the moment, you cannot buy this drink. In fact, it's going up in value ridiculously.
Okay.
And I'm proud that two YouTubers have created such an incredible brand. So I brought you some.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
And this is the energy drink.
Oh, wow. That is a bit of me.
Now, the problem is I want one of them.
Okay.
And I think I want this one.
Okay, that's fine.
Tropical Punch.
Which you give me whatever you want me to
Tropical
have.
Punch.
Can I test it live on air? And it could be a good short.
Go on then, we'll do it.
Rick Shields review test prime. Harry, get ready for a short for this.
You ready? Okay. So I'm going to go prime.
You go first. Get the camera on you first and I'll do it.
Orange mango. This is what it's come down to. We said we had an action-packed episode for you today. So prime orange mango energy drink.
It's okay. Cold as well.
They weren't even in the fridge. Oh my God! That's amazing! That's what you're supposed to do, isn't it? That's actually really nice.
Is it?
Yeah, genuinely.
Okay, Harry, on me? So I've got, the TV's off at the back.
I've just spat the drink everywhere.
Can we fix the TV at the back?
We need a coaster.
If we only had any coasters. Shall I go now, Harry? Or do you want to keep that TV? Does it matter? I'll go now. So I've got... Hi, I'm Guy Charnock. Welcome to the Rick Shields Golf Show channel. If you just come here to see my prime review, thank you. I'm going to try the Prime Energy Tropical Punch as brought to you by Logan Paul and KSI.
Oh,
nice. That was good, wasn't it?
That was really good.
Are you ready? Okay, smells good. Nice. Yeah, very, very nice, to be fair.
You need a Bay Hill coaster.
Any sugar in that? No sugar? It's actually really good.
So,
I could say 8 out of 10. It might be a bit more of a taste.
Prime, by the way, if you want to sponsor the podcast,
really good.
If you want to sponsor the podcast, this is what it could look like. Okay?
If that was in the shops in the UK readily available, and it was like £1.50 a can, I'd probably get it most days.
I think this looks good right now. We are actually trying to pitch for advertisement here by Logan Paul and KSI. Well,
thank you very much.
Doesn't end.
Wow. Is this just the start?
Doesn't end. Right. When we're over in the US of A, in Orlando to be specific, we collaborated with Stack Golf.
Yes.
I mentioned it last week on the podcast, didn't I?
I can't remember if we did or not. I'm a bit lost. Prime onto my head.
I did. And the video of theirs has gone out now where they take me thrift shopping. Okay. So you go around to all these charity shops. That's where we bought the ball and the glove as well.
Right.
From a charity shop. Like yes. A used sports shop. bought loads of golf clubs, went to a driving range. The video's banged on.
When you're trying to tell a story and the prime comes back up.
Sorry. This has gone. So we went shopping, we went to a driving range, and at the end of the driving range, we gave away the clubs. It was really good. The video's killing it on their channel. Make sure you check it out. Because actually we give the clubs away in that video. I take a few of them anyway. So at the end of that video, we get to the car park and John and Ashley go, "Oh, Rick, got a present for you."
Yep.
Oh, thanks, guys. That's really nice of you. They gave me, I've actually not brought it, a Scotty Cameron.
Oh, my days.
Like an unbelievable Scotty Cameron. I'm like, wow. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
The day after, we met them again. Okay. And they brought two more Scotty Camerons. Okay. One of them was for Sam, cameraman. One of them was for Matt,
yeah,
the cameraman. So, very nice. I mean, unbelievable. John and Ashley, superstars. However, there was one person missing.
Harry.
Oh, yeah, Harry didn't get anything. So, I spoke to John and Ashley. I said, "Do me a solid. Do you happen to have any more of those Scotty Camerons floating around for a certain co-host of a podcast who can't make it because he just had a baby?"
I mean, I have bigged them up on the podcast. I actually think I got you onto Stacked Golf originally, so they do owe me a little bit.
Well, in return, they brought you a present. Wow. All the way
oh my
from the
days.
USA.
Drum roll, please. I'm excited and nervous.
I'm trying to find something really rubbish below the desk. You ready? Shut your eyes.
Okay, the short.
Shut your eyes, put your arms out.
Don't watch my can. Oh, it's a steel shaft.
Open. Oh. They gave you a Scotty Cameron.
Oh my days. That is sick.
How cool is that?
That is so good.
So it's like a Laguna?
Word. It style. Is. So if you're listening, you need to come and watch the podcast. It's a Scotty Cameron. It's like a gunmetal-y finish, the Circa 62. Model number one. I remember these coming out. Wow. And it's a Scotty Scotty Cameron head cover. I can't even speak. I'm shaking. That is sick.
How
oh,
good is that?
Wow. Thank you. John and Ashley, thank you so much. That is absolutely awesome. That
so now we've all got one apart from Harry.
Yeah, forget Harry.
How nice is that?
Thank you so much. That is really, if you've not checked out Stacked Golf, I'm sure you have after Rick's recent video with them. Go and check them out and just say, "Guy really likes you." Thank you so much.
Well, there's some presents. Right, let's get all these off the desk.
Okay, let's get
all
stuck
this
in.
Rubbish off.
It's rubbish.
So yeah, nice little shopping trip for you.
You can go away more often, Rick.
Thank you. I brought my wife home a box? Basically, a Toblerone. What do you call it? It's not a pack, is it?
An actual Toblerone? What would you call it? I just say you got them a Toblerone.
I got my wife a Toblerone. You got all those nice goodies.
Wow, thank you so much. Well, I want a nice start to the podcast, but let's get stuck into the absolute... I don't know what I was going to say then.
That was the starter.
That was the start. This is the main course.
Yes.
Well, first things first. Yesterday, we saw, as you said at the start, a guy who actually has been on the channel. A lot of people might not realise this. So Daniel Gavins, won on the DP World Tour. And he won by one stroke. To a lot of people, that might not be a story. But the way he went about winning the tournament was absolutely insane. I, as I've said on many, many podcasts, don't watch loads and loads of golf. I'm trying to watch a bit more recently. And yesterday I put the golf on and he was on the 16th hole. And he had a couple of shots leading. We know Dan because when we went to the European Tour qualifying school back in 2018, we did like a little mini documentary. It's actually on the channel. I suggest going having a watch of it. It was quite good. And we chose about five or six guys to kind of focus on their journey of trying to qualify for the European Tour, some of which got their tour card, some of which didn't. And the reason we filmed with Dan, we didn't know him at all at the time, was that he was one of the guys that had no caddy and he was pulling a pull trolley. And it just looked kind of quite, not so much funny, but quite like, there's something nice about it, something really kind
wholesome.
Of wholesome that he was there on his own. I think he was actually on his own, didn't have any friends or anything with him. Obviously, he would have been friends with some of the other golfers, but in Spain, trying to battle to get his tour card. And he actually got his tour card, and we went out for McDonald's with him and all this stuff, and it was really funny.
And I think even at that point, he'd featured on a few Golf Mates videos.
Yeah, so Liam from Golf Mates got a great channel. He was, had he already on? Not sure if he had at the
time.
Yeah,
I do think he
Maybe had. Maybe he had. But anyway, Liam from Golf Mates has obviously done lots with Dan. Liam's caddied for Dan as well. Did he even win when Liam was in the bag?
Correct.
So those guys are very close. I know he's been on a few other channels as well.
We talked about it on the podcast when he won. When Liam caddied for Dan Gavins in Ireland, and they won, where that time he posted a really early clubhouse lead and he held on, where this time round it was very, very different. But Dan's a great guy. I mean, I've actually not played golf with him. I've only seen him play golf.
Well, what's that? Just a side note, what's insane now, when you actually look at the DP World and the leaderboard, when it flicks from one page to another, pretty much every time it does that, there's one person on there or two that we've either filmed with or we've had on the channel or the podcast.
And if you remember, the guy who won qualifying that year was Xander Lombard.
Yeah.
And he came second.
Wow.
So, like, those guys who we'd filmed in Lumina 2018, we didn't feature Xander, but he won the qualifying that time. These guys are, you know, they're the new wave of incredible golfers.
Well, that's, the main news is Dan went on to obviously to win the tournament, and that's great. Obviously, it's two European Tour wins for him, or DP World Tour, should we now say. But the way he went about winning was absolutely insane. So... The guy that, who was the guy that ended up coming second?
Bjorn.
He ended up bogeying the last of par five, which meant that on the 18th tee, Dan essentially had a three-shot lead. So he could double bogey the last to win. It was pretty evident that he hadn't at this point spoke to his caddy or looked at the actual scoreboard, because the way he went about playing the last hole was bizarre. I'll let you elaborate on this.
It's a par five. There's water all the way down the right-hand side of the hole, pretty much from tee to green. There's out of bounds left, and Dan's been hitting his driver brilliant all day.
Paradigm.
However, he's been putting unbelievable all day. Like, I think he set a record for, I think he had something like 94 putts in a 72-hole tournament.
Wait, say that again.
He had 94 putts in total
in
a 72-hole tournament.
So it sounds obvious. If you two-putted every hole, that'll be 144 putts. Oh, my gosh.
It was below 100 anyway. I'm pretty sure it was 94 or 95. So, stood on that tee, he's been hitting driver great all day, and there's no reason why he shouldn't hit driver. I would still say he should hit driver off that tee.
Mm-hmm.
He hits driver, and a very nervy Dan Gavins hit this kind of pushy fade, and it went straight in the water. I'm sure many people have probably watched this. He had to re-tee because his crossing point was straight off the tee. He hits three off the tee. He stood in the middle of the fairway, hitting his fourth shot.
That tee shot looked bombed, by the way, second attempt.
Ripped it. It's easy that second time. Four shot into the green. He still thinks right now he's got to make bogey at worst, because I don't think he realises the guy in front's made bogey.
Now, this one I want to pick your brains on. Obviously, you know, you've played at a better stand than I have, slightly. I'm joking. You do hear about golfers, some have different approaches. Some guys want to play on the golf course and have no idea of how other people are doing and want to play their own game, and I get that. But surely, when you're leading a tournament coming on the last hole, it wasn't the last group, having said that, but the group behind him weren't massively in contention. When you're coming down the stretch, surely, you know, with a par five, like with water and danger, we saw Rory, obviously, very well. He was very clever in how he tackled the 18th Dubai last week, the way he played it. The way he played it with his second shot, he hit this fairway and ended up putting it in the water. That surely has to be the wrong play.
You know, going back to when I was in America and played Bay Hill, there's massive, large leaderboards everywhere. Like, up now, because the tournament's in a few weeks. You could not stand on the tee and not know where you are in a tournament. Maybe in DP World Tour, certainly that event, there might not be as many leaderboards dotted about. But even the commentators were saying, surely you'd ask even the cameraman. Yeah. Like, there's a cameraman there. What did he make up in front of me? Like, what do I need to do to win? He went aggressive. He hit three wood into the water for his fourth shot. He then takes a drop for five, hits it onto the green for six. This is a par five. But it wasn't a great shot. He hit it 28 feet. And then he sinks this incredible double bogey putt for a seven on the final hole, which I'd actually love to get some stats on how many players have won with a double bogey down the last. Oh. I remember Scottie Scheffler did it in the Masters last year when he four-putted. I bet there's not many people who have double bogeyed the last and lost two balls and still won a tournament.
No, I was so... Obviously, I don't really know Dan. He might not even remember me, but we've met and he was a nice enough lad. I thought that three-wood shot was a peculiar one. You would think, in principle, his caddy would have said, hit an iron down there, then hit onto the green, take two putts, make your double bogey worst case, and you've won the tournament. He went three-wood, and then he obviously chipped it on, not great. I was really, really, really rooting for him to hole that putt, because to see if he'd have missed that and then got into a playoff and maybe lost, it would have been heartbreaking. It would have been kind of Jean Van de Velde-esque.
It could have ended his career. Like, yeah. You don't know, do you know what I mean? Those scars are hard.
And what's insane is, I think actually, and I mean, again, I'm not nowhere near a sports psychologist, and I'm kind of guessing when I say this, but in a bizarre way, going from, like you said, ending his career, although he's already got a great career already now, that could go on to really, really make his career, because he's felt those nerves. He's felt that, oh my God, what have I done here? He's then held the putt and had massive, massive bottle to do so. There must be some good feeling now, knowing that when times get tough and times get hard, he's got the balls to actually pull it out of the bag and do it, which he did. So super kudos to him.
Well, I texted him last night saying, congratulations, pal. He's put, thank you, Rick. I've put, enjoy the celebrations.
Yeah.
Because I reckon he got smashed last night.
Yeah, you know what's crazy, though? And taking nothing away from Dan, because that was a great win. And I said, it's so great to see, you know, youngish, you know, I think he's about 30 my age, you know, English lads doing well on tour. It's brilliant. But it was kind of, my wife kind of saw me watching. She was kind of half watching it. And obviously the week before we'd been watching Rory. It was the Monday that Rory won, but over the weekend we'd watch Rory. And I was trying to explain to how this is the same tour, but yet very different levels of events in terms of prize money, in terms of golf course, in terms of prestige. And randomly off topic a little bit here, but it does kind of give you some of the reasons why LIV is a thing. And they're trying to claim that, you know, the DP World Tour and the PGA Tour are a bit faulty. It is weird, isn't it, how one week on the DP World Tour you've got a massive event and the next week it's a much lower ranked event.
I suppose it's, I mean, I've got really back into my football again. It's a little bit like the Man City Spurs match yesterday was a massive match. Yet the other match, which I think was Forest Leeds, wasn't that big a match at all.
That's true, but even though
tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Premier League matches.
It's very true, but if you're a Man City fan and 1 week you've got Nottingham Forest, 1 week you've got Man United, one's a bigger match than the other in terms of feeling, but everyone's worth 3 points.
Yeah,
and they all add up at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Whereas like a DP World event, obviously nothing can take you away from winning a DP World event. It's such an amazing feat. But it's just bizarre how like the season's panned
That's
out,
true.
Isn't it?
And
but
the money's so different as
but,
well.
But having said that, take a separate angle on that, it's great to see these events where some of the lesser known pros go on and do well or go on and win, and that can set their career for life. And who knows, hopefully Dan Gavins goes on to have an amazing season and might do well in the Open or whatever. That'd be really good to see. Speaking now a little bit on the tour there and kind of live and a bit of a segue onto kind of the main point of today's podcast. Some massive, massive news around Bryson DeChambeau, Cobra, and tailor-made golf. So many people listening, I'm sure, whether you're an equipment nerd or you're not, will be fully aware of two things. Firstly, Bryson DeChambeau is very finicky with equipment. It takes a lot for him to change equipment. He's very fussy with what he uses. He's famous for having one-length irons. He's now famous for being an absolute bomber of the golf ball. And he's also very well known as being a Cobra Puma athlete. So a number of years ago, Bryson signed with Cobra, and things were looking rosy. They developed him a one-length set of irons that they've since brought to the market. And from conversations I've had with Cobra reps and from retail staff, one-length irons don't sell loads and loads of sets, but they sell. Certainly in the kind of more forgiving irons. And for me, one-length kind of does make a sense. Makes sense because if you're new to the game of golf and you can have all your irons the same length as a 7-iron, kind of works to some degree. Yep. There are some issues with it as well, but that's one thing. But yeah, you will be aware that Bryson is a Cobra Puma athlete. Well, this week, Bryson teed up at the Saudi International, which is an Asian tour event kind of sanctioned with obviously LIV, which is why he was there. And he was spotted, well, not spotted, he was playing the full four, I don't know if he made the cut actually, but he was playing, I think he got 7 over for the 2 days, so it wasn't great. However, the talking point wasn't really his golf, it was the fact that he was using a TaylorMade Stealth 2 Plus driver, which was insane. We had Bryce on the podcast about just over a year ago now,
I bet it was almost exactly a year ago.
Which was just as around the LTDX driver was coming out, and actually at the time, Bryson was bigging up the following drivers. He was bigging up the Aerojet, which is just coming out now. There was rumours, and I think he said himself, that he'd worked with the R&D team to give some of his thoughts, his feedback, his kind of long drive, swing mechanics going into this driver, blah, blah, blah. He's ditched it, and he's gone to the TaylorMade. Now, the word from Cobra, they have reached out, and they have said the following.
Reached out to us?
Yeah, I asked for a quote. They have came back with a very corporate quote. Let me just find it once. I want to get it word for word. Bear with me. Bryson is not currently under contract with Cobra or Puma. His contract was up at the end of 2022 and discussions are ongoing. Okay. So a few things I want to pick up on this before we really get into the kind of nitty-gritty of it. This was on Thursday this all came out. On Thursday, I checked Cobra's website. He was on there as a player. So you go on their website, there's like a tour section. They have Ricky Fowler, etc., Lexi Thompson, etc. And the reason I'd know he was definitely on those because underneath the person's picture says the tour. So it said Ricky Fowler, PJ Tour. Lexi Thompson, LPGA. Bryson DeChambeau, LIV. I remember thinking, oh, that's one of the first times I've seen that a brand is advertising the player plays in the LIV tour. As of today, or whenever I checked today, he's not on there anymore. Okay, so it seems strange that he's used this driver and gone. But basically, it's looking like, he's either ongoing with talks with them, which is hard to come back from. Because if he does re-sign with Cobra and then comes back into a Cobra driver, it could look a bit strange, isn't it, that he was using a TaylorMade driver. What does this mean for Bryson? What does this mean for Cobra? I'm sure TaylorMade are very happy that he's decided to use it. But, kind of more on this, going a little bit deeper into the point to kind of unpack all of this. The rumours were that Bryson signed for LIV Golf around $125 million, right? A lot of money. I don't know what Cobra Puma were paying him a year, but it'd be a few million. If he's getting paid $2, $3, $4, $5 million a year off Cobra Puma, it's really a drop in the ocean when you've got $125 million in the bank. Is he taking the decision to say, you know what, I want to use the golf clubs that I honestly believe are the best in the world, the best in class? If he thinks that the best in class is a TaylorMade Stealth 2 driver and he wants to use it, so be it. What does this mean for one-length irons? If he moves away from Cobra, are Cobra still going to make one-length irons? Who knows? And does this also mean, like I've seen this before, but certainly for LIV guys now, is it the end of being sponsored? Is it a case of, TaylorMade, Cobra, Puma, whoever, you keep your $2 million a year, I'll play the clubs that are best for my game. Unpack
you've,
it.
You've really thought about this, haven't
I have,
you?
Of course I have.
I've got a few. I've got a conspiracy first.
Okay.
Okay.
Always good.
I believe the reason why Bryson isn't using the Cobra driver is he watched my review on it.
And you're going to say this.
And realised, yeah, we should have put three weights in.
Yeah.
That's the simple
end of
answer.
Podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone. See you next week.
No, it is very, very interesting. It came as a shock. I think there's one thing that is very, very clear, and I think this will become much more evident this year and certainly rolling into, well, I think it will be this year. A lot of the LIV players are now non-apparel branded. Mm-hmm. So Henrik Stenson doesn't look like he's with Hugo Boss anymore. Ian Poulter has been seen wearing his old IJP clothing line. Obviously, Bryson with Puma. A lot of them are now moving away from their apparel brands because they're going to be effectively in a few weeks' time or whenever it's going to be, they're going to be starting to wear uniforms for their teams. So Smashers Golf Club and Niblix and all this will have a team outfit.
Yeah.
And I suppose there becomes a conflict of contracts. I'm sure a lot of these players would have had in their contract, the only time that they can be seen not in their apparel line is when they're playing Ryder Cup. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the other time, if you're a Nike player, you've got to be wearing Nike everything, as Puma and everything else. So I think possibly a lot of that has started to come from this. I think when negotiations started to take place, and I don't think anyone's naive enough to think if Cobra Puma knew that Bryson's contract was ending December 2022, those renegotiation contract talks happen 6 months earlier.
Yeah, I agree. 100, well, we know that's a fact, but also it's strange that, you know, that a nice clean comment for them would be, you know, we have ended part ways with Bryson, we've had a great 3, 4, 5 years with him, you know, whatever, blah, blah. But the fact they've actually used in their statement discussions ongoing, that's quite strange, because that makes me think that they actually must be ongoing, because why would you say that if they weren't?
I would imagine there's going to be I reckon he'll continue with Cobra. Mm-hmm. I think he's probably maybe negotiating for better terms, more money, whatever it may be. But I don't think the Puma contract will continue.
But there can't be much, you know, I know there's arguments that people don't care what tour pros use, I get that, but it's hard for Cobra to come back from that as soon as the contract has ended, even if it's only for a month or two before he goes back with them, if that's the option. He can't then go back into a Cobra driver now, surely, and he's obviously, when he's not in contract, he wants to use stealth.
You could easily spin that as a bit of I was just experimenting, I've been with Cobra for a few years, I wanted to try a different driver in competition.
Wasn't as good.
I think you can spin it.
Yeah,
I think if he was to negotiate back with Cobra, they could easily brush over the fact he had a TaylorMade driver in the bag and just kind of go, yeah, it was a bit of an experiment. Mm-hmm. As you can see from my result, it didn't work.
Yeah, it missed the cut.
Therefore, you know, I've seen the light. I've decided to obviously move back into my partnership with Cobra. So it wouldn't surprise me if they renegotiated. If they don't come to terms and don't sign, the one point you mentioned there, which I think would be a really interesting point to follow, is how long does one length irons last with Cobra?
Yeah, this is something that I think we've had this chat before. I don't know if we've done this on the podcast, but if you're not aware, I'm sure people are, we just briefly introduced it before, but one length irons from some brands do them, but mostly you're gonna find Cobra do them. Literally every iron is the length of a 7-iron. Now, the benefit of that is that it allows you to essentially build one posture, one swing. You stand the same distance away from the ball every time, etc. The downside to them, however, we find, you found this yourself from testing and from lessons, is that if you're an amateur golfer and you've got your 5-iron or your 4-iron and it's only the length of a 7-iron, it can be quite hard to generate speed, which can therefore be quite hard to generate height with the golf shot. And also on the flip side, if you've got a pitching wedge that's the length of a 7-iron, you're going to have quite a lot of club head speed. You often see them go quite high.
Yeah.
So Cobra over years have tried to really work around this, and I think they have made them a bit better year on year. But yeah, they should be in theory better for most new golfers. However, we also know most new golfers don't go out and buy a set of brand new irons. You get some off your friend, or you get some off eBay or Golf Bidder, or you buy some cheaper clubs. If you get used to variable length irons, it's then very hard to switch into one length irons, isn't it? So I don't know how well they have done. I think Cobra was at 20% of their sales of certain sets come in one length, so that's something.
I think Cobra in a tricky spot as well, because they're probably thinking, well, if we lose Bryson, we're now starting to get very thin on the ground, because they signed Gary Woodland recently.
Yeah, so when you go on the Cobra Golf website, and it's something else I want to come on to as
That's
well.
Someone's chair.
I think it's Sam's chair. So if you go on their website, they've got Ricky Fowler.
Yeah.
You know, absolute great name. He's a bit of form recently. He's been on your channel.
You almost can't imagine him not in Cobra Puma.
Yeah. They've got Lexi Thompson, goes without saying, legend.
Brilliant.
They've now got Gary Woodland. They've got Jason Duffner. They've got Ewan Ferguson off the DP World Tour. They've got Beef Johnson, who's coming back to fitness. They've got a handful of names. They've also got Kyle Berkshire, long drive champion. I must admit, and this is no disrespect to the lineup they've got, apart from a handful of those people, when you think of Cobra Puma and what they want to come across as, it's quite a cool brand, quite a young brand, lots of energy, you know, similar to kind of Nike in that regard. You look at their lineup, and I'll be honest, I'm not massively feeling super enthused by that in that sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So they do need some.
They do need.
They
some
need
young
some
blood,
young
I
blood,
think,
exactly. And that's what, you know, Bryson was great for. But a side note on that, we discussed last week again, quite equipment heavy, how Rory was only using the Stealth 1 driver, if you like, not the Stealth 2. And we had a lot of great comments in our Facebook group. If you're not a member, join it, Rick Shields Golf Show Podcast on Facebook. And a lot of people were having different opinions on this. And one thing that stood out to me, which just makes sense, is somebody said, like, sort of on the lines of, I really don't care what the tour pros use at all, right? And to some degree, I agree with that. And I said to you, when I used to work for Nike and fit golfers into the Nike driver, and at the time we had Rory using it, they had Targ using it, it didn't always sell off the back of it.
You don't get two bigger needle movers than them two.
No, exactly. However, flipping that again, there's something about golf brands being used on the DP World Tour, PGA Tour, now on LIV to some degree, that really gives a brand credibility. Now, if you think about it, there's brands that are like Tour Edge that you see in American Golf now, or Ben Ross, or these, you know, Wilson even. Maybe they don't quite fit in that category. But brands that, let's be honest, aren't quite as desirable. They're not quite as sexy. You can guarantee, though, if next year this would never happen, but Rory McIlroy signs to Tour Edge, okay? You might not go out on Rush to buy the driver because Rory uses it. But I can guarantee that next time you want a driver, that might help to bring Tour Edge into the conversation.
Yeah, like it did with Nike.
Like it did with Nike, exactly. So it works but kind of a couple of ways. It's Tour usage. It doesn't mean that now everyone's going to dump the Cobra driver and go and buy Stealth. But there's a reason why these brands pay an absolute fortune for players, and certainly the elite players. It definitely, definitely helps to legitimize your brand. So very intrigued to see where Cobra go with this. Some good news for Cobra, though, is that there was sightings again this week of Justin Rose using their new irons, and I guess he's not an athlete, so he's using them off his own back, which again makes the product must be really good. If Justin Rose wants to use them, he's not getting paid. So that's interesting.
Well, currently, as we're recording this podcast, the Pebble Beach Pro-Am hasn't finished, and Justin Rose is leading by two. It's rolling over to a Monday finish. So if he wins, again, it's a they can't shout about that, Cobra, so much, because he's not a paid athlete, but people in the know will know. It is interesting.
And that's something I think I definitely am more interested in what pros are using when it's not something they're paid to use. So like with Rory at the moment using Vokey wedges, that all makes me think, well, that means Vokey must be the best. Do you know what I mean?
It almost flips it for me. It almost makes me think TaylorMade wedges aren't that good.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Because if he has literally got access, he can make... If he said to TaylorMade, I don't like these wedges for whatever reason, I don't like the look, I don't like the shape, and I don't like how much they spin, TaylorMade will do everything in their power to make that work, wouldn't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they obviously, currently, they can't.
It's very interesting. Are you going to come on to some Facebook questions?
I'm going to come on to one more bit first before the Facebook questions.
To Andrews?
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect.
Swilcombe Bridge.
Yes.
Bridgegate.
If you've not seen what's happened to the Swilcombe Bridge, it's going to be on the screen now, the video podcast. If you're listening in the car, you've probably seen it or Google it, but elaborate.
Swilcombe Bridge is one of the most famous bridges in golf.
The most
famous. Every living legend has walked over that bridge.
Your Rick Shields, your Peter Finch, your Guy Charnock, Harry Brodies.
I mean, genuinely one of the most magical moments last year when I finished my walk 150 when I walked across Scotland, and I finished at Swilcombe Bridge. We put these balloons over the top of the bridge, and we had a few drinks and a few pictures, and there was fans, everything. I loved it. But I remember sitting back after most of the kind of crowd had kind of gone home, my kids running over the bridge, like chasing each other. They made a little friend, a little Scottish friend, and they're running over the bridge. And I genuinely looked at it like, I mean, this is history. And it's just a bridge. It's a public bridge, but it's like, it's so, the famous picture recently of Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods stood on that bridge at the Open, you think, it's amazing.
Well, that's it. And we're going to come on to, they've obviously done some work to it, and which we'll come on to why. It's pretty obvious why. But for me, you've just hit the nail on the head. There's three reasons why I made a note of this before, of why that bridge to me is so iconic. So firstly, it's been there for so long.
Do we know how long?
I don't know. I probably should have Googled it before this podcast. I haven't done. You can have a look.
Let's have a quick look.
It's been there for a long time, to the point where you see images of it, and like the St. Andrews backdrop just looks totally, totally different because it's been there for that long. So that's one reason it's got so much kind of heritage and history. Secondly, as you alluded to then, every golfer, basically ever, who's been a legend of the game has walked over that bridge.
Oh, my God.
What's the year?
Originally built at least... 700 years ago.
Oh, gosh. So there you have it. It's been there for about 700 years. Every legend hell? Of the game has walked over that bridge. Jack Nicklaus obviously finished professional golf and stuff over that bridge.
Like Tom Watson, when he finished the Open in 2005, he's got photographed kissing the bridge. It's where Jack Nicklaus signed off when he finished his Open. It was where a lot of players expected Tiger Woods to sign off in for the 150th, which he didn't. But that's where he will.
100%.
He will be sitting that bridge in 5 years' time or 10 years' time or whatever it is when he decides that's it. There will be pictures of him on that bridge signed, waving the golfing world away.
And if you're ever lucky enough to go to the old course and or even St Andrews itself or certainly play the old course, you almost can't play that hole without getting a picture, which is what we're going to lead on to in a moment.
You know what I love, though, as well? You don't even have to be playing the golf course.
Yeah, on a Sunday, you walk on, you know.
Most times, to be honest.
Yeah, you just walk on, get your picture.
Like, there's no, if that was in America, and no disrespect to America, but you'd have a kiosk, and they'd be charging for it, and you'd have your picture done professional, and you'd be paying to have your picture on a key ring, wouldn't you?
Yeah, 100%.
Like there'd be a queue, but that's not St Andrews. It's just this lovely little bridge that's been there for 700 years where many times you can be stood there on your own for 10 minutes stood on that bridge.
And that leads me to my last point of why I love it. You've actually had the word there. It sounds bizarre, this, but when you see it in real life the first time, it's actually really small.
It is very cold in Scotland.
No, but.
Yeah, okay.
But what I mean by that is so many things in life that are almost wonders of the world or that are really iconic are big things, aren't they? So
like the Egyptian pyramids.
Great Wall Golden of China. Golden Gate Bridge, the Burj Khalifa, these iconic things are a large Buckingham Palace, whatever, Tower of London, all these different things. There's something about the Swillacombe Bridge that is so iconic. But yeah, it kind of feels like somewhat, it's strong, but yet vulnerable. It's just there. It's not big. It's not boastful. It's just there. It's just perfect.
Oh, this is cute. No, I love it. It's cute little
but
chat.
What they've now done to it is basically put like a garden patio on the front and the back of it. And the reason is...
Is it not just the front?
I think it's the back as well.
Oh my goodness.
St Andrews Links Trust have come out, obviously, after all the criticism over the weekend. And everybody listening and watching probably got an opinion. No, you might not have an opinion. You might not care. But they have simply said it's because the amount of traffic they get. So obviously, you've said everyone that plays there walks over it. You almost have to.
We've seen that picture from November.
Yeah, so we'll put that one in the podcast as well. Just save that for Harry. That's how it can. So it can get destroyed. The front and the back of the bridge gets obviously very burnt out. All the footprints, thousands of probably millions of footprints going over it and over and over it. So they're thinking that this will obviously give them, it will stop that happening essentially. So it kind of to some degree, I understand it. And I also believe it's not yet finished. So when it's finished, it might somehow grow on us. It might look different. But right now, you have to say, it feels like it really has ruined an iconic landmark. This is a bridge we're talking about. But it has.
I feel really, really, really sorry for St Andrews and the Links Trust. This isn't obviously their intention.
No.
To cause such... Bridgegate. Like, this wasn't their intention.
No.
For many of the things they've done in the world of golf, they don't really do a great deal wrong, in my opinion. Like, you know, these are the guys who, you know, the 150th Open, it was bloody perfect.
Insane.
Now, they've obviously had talks and meetings and they've tried things in the past. They've actually tried artificial grass in the past. Now, this... And again, this is where I genuinely do feel sorry for him. I mean, the committee, I'm sure, probably scrambling around having meetings, or the poor guy who built it, or the team that built it. I feel really bad for him because they had the best interest at heart, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to preserve the longevity and to keep it looking amazing all the time. So I do feel bad, it's not right. I'm sure they probably admit that maybe they could have improved it. I mean, I think they're making a kind of mountain out of a molehill to press, because at the end of the day, if it really doesn't work, rip it all back up and turf it again. It's not like as if they've not changed the bridge. Do you get what I mean? Mm. It's not like they've really like done anything long lasting effect to the bridge. So I don't see a massive deal about it. If they turn out and go, actually, guys, really sorry, that wasn't quite what we intended to do. We're going to try something else. Fair dues. So at the moment, I don't like it, and I'm sure that's the majority of people listening and watching. But I do think there will be a time where they'll be like, yeah, maybe we'll pivot and do something different. So I don't see it being a long-lasting thing. I do feel really, really sorry for St Andrews and the Lynx Trust. Like, we know a lot of the guys up there, but it wasn't their intention to do something that would offend people, is it? Do you know what I mean?
No, I think it's kind of, it's testament to what they have created in St Andrews that they've done something. And although it's negative feedback, it's because people curse so much.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't think with this, it's people being awkward for the sake of being awkward. Like when a brand changes its logo and people go, oh, it's not as good just to be awkward and be a pain. I think it's the people that that do feel so strongly about it, because they love St Andrews, they love the history, they love the heritage. So it's almost like they curse so much. But you're right, I do feel harsh on St Andrews Lynx Trust that they won't want, they'll probably rather not do it, obviously. But if there's issues there with the land. I mean, the only thing is, though, although it's obviously one of the most photographed places in Scotland, I imagine, so it has to look good. But at the same time, there's no golf gets played there. So could they not just have a bit of land that is just worn out? Would that be so bad? I don't know. But
I think potentially the artificial grass option would be explore that again. But again, I don't feel too strongly about it. Because let's say a brand changed the logo, whatever it may be, and people hated it. It's almost changing it back, you can't do. Mm. You've almost gone down that route. This can be changed. Yeah. I don't
see it
being a big
deal. The only one I can think
of
like that was, Harry will know this better than me, but when was it Leeds United changed the badge? Leeds United had tried to change the badge and it was like really didn't get a good feedback, so they went back to the old one.
Oh, really? Well, that might be a wrong
No,
example,
but you know what, you're right. And also, things grow on you over time. Like when a brand does change a logo, you start to get used to it more over time and you know, oh, yeah, actually, it does look better because often these things are designed to be more future-proofed.
Yeah. And I even understand the shaping of it.
Yeah.
Like, because it doesn't, people said, yeah, but it's not symmetrical. Well, it's not, but when you've been there and you want the best picture, like that is actually where you need to stand. You do actually need to stand on that slight angle. And they've extended that to make sure that not only the people walking up to the bridge you're going to preserve, but the person taking a picture is going to be stood in that kind of...
we're thinking of content.
Well, it is.
It's true. It's true.
The person taking the picture will be stood there.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, they should have put a cross and take a picture here. But like, yeah, I feel bad for them. I don't think it's going to be forever. If it is, it's going to grow on us. It's going to look better. I have full trust that they'll work it out.
The way you speak, so balanced and thoughtful, I think you could be a member of the RNA one day. That was all just to become a member of the RNA. Don't believe anything he said.
I'm like, everyone that keeps slagging him off, I'm like, well, they're not in.
You'll see the open in 5 years. Rick's in the RNA close to the smoking, massive cigar and a smoking jacket. I'm like, Rick, how did you become a member of the RNA? You go, well, I remember when they changed the bridge, everyone slagged it off. I said, it looked all right, mate.
I don't think it's perfect, but I think they'll sort it. I have full trust. That was
a
good episode.
Are we running through a few questions
for
the podcast? So yeah, we did ask for, and I sometimes feel guilty about this. We ask in the podcast group for questions, and there was loads of questions. So thank you so much for everyone asking. If we don't read yours out, please keep trying, because we will get through as many as we can in the coming weeks and months.
Marcus Jack, any plans for a trip to Australia? Some of the best course in the world, but everyone forgets us. Oh. Nobody forgets you. I went 7 years ago and loved it. There's definitely plans on coming back again. When? Not sure.
We get that a lot, actually.
It's a long way, isn't it?
Yeah, we get a lot of people asking, certainly like DM me or the podcast or email saying, oh, come to Ireland or come to this place or come to wherever. And it's not that we've got anything against these places. It's just that making it happen. But there's plans to do a lot more filming trips. So
yeah,
who knows?
I think more filming trips and certainly going further afield is definitely not off the agenda. Lewis Parks, if TaylorMade offered Rick £20, okay, and the chance to play around with Tiger Woods, would he sign a deal with them?
Yep. Next.
Call it 25 and you've got a deal. I'll pay them 20 quid. That's a Mark Simpson, strong lofted irons discuss. You know what? I've kind of changed my opinion on strong lofted irons. I used to give them a real bad rap, but I've seen more evidence that it can benefit golfers.
Yeah.
To some degree. Who's your favourite fictional golfer?
Oh, okay. So like Happy Gilmore or something.
That's from Keith the Toner.
Fictional golfer. It's one of those things where you'd say it now and then driving home later on, you think, I wish I'd said such a body. Happy Gilmore's got to be up there, hasn't he, for what he's about.
I really like, Tin Cup guy. God, what's he called? That's going to annoy me. Tin Cup's really cool. But I'd go Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
Or Shooter McGavin.
I'd go Happy Gilmore.
I like Shooter. I think he got a bad rap. He was just competitive. Right, one last one. Wow, there's lots of questions. Should have added these earlier. A lot of people are asking about the new review channel.
Well, that was just something actually last thing to come on to. We actually this week just gone, obviously on Friday, the Break 75 didn't come out, the Wallasey version. Good news, it's out this Friday, we can guarantee that. If it's not, you can what can they do if it's not out? Well, it will be out, so no even
what we're saying.
Wallasey is out this Friday.
Oh yeah. There was a lot of discussion on Friday that video, why is there not a Break 75? And you know, I tried to reply to as many as I could, and quite simply, there's a bottleneck currently taking place with content and editing, which we are looking to resolve. But also, it's been a development in the business because Break 75's now, I mean, the Wallasey video that's coming out Friday is 1 hour, 20 minutes long. That takes a long time to edit.
Yeah.
We've got multiple cameras, we've got drones, we've got shot tracers, we've got multiple guests. So it's like, it's a big edit these days.
I think one thing we don't want to do, and we're never going to say our videos are perfect, we're always looking to evolve them, and some people might love them, some people might hate them, and you might find that error here and there, or whatever it might be. But we really don't ever want to release a video now that we aren't really, really happy with. And I'll be honest with you, hands up, sometimes back in the day we would release videos that we knew weren't perfect, but they were kind of good enough, and people still enjoyed them and really liked them. But now we can't really do that. So if there's a week where we've promised a video and it's late, it's not that we can't be bothered. Trust me, we're more frustrated than everybody probably put together, combined. We're really angry and frustrated. But we just can't release things unless they are as close to what we perceive as perfect as possible. You guys might not think they're perfect, but to us, they're not far off. So Friday's episode will be here. That's guaranteed. We've got loads more in the bank. That obviously, there's an amazing one the following week at Royal Liverpool where we play Hoylake in its real open conditions, and the Claret Jug was there. We've touched on that before. That will be here that Friday. Obviously, the ones Rick touched on in America are all coming. And we've got some other really, really exciting videos on the way. We've got some amazing ideas, if I say so myself. So the channel's in a good place. The review channel will be coming soon.
That's your answer.
That's when
you
it's
coming. You might hear some drilling and banging because something's being built. Stay tuned.
It's actually just note on that though. Actually, when people do get annoyed and there's not a video coming, we feel a bit guilty, but it's also actually a really good sign.
I know.
If people are upset they're not coming, it means you enjoy them.
I think the other thing as well, it's almost credit to the style of videos that we do. I think, you know, there's still get times where we'll go to a golf course and let's say film a Break 75 and you might bump into a fan and go, oh, is this out tomorrow?
Yeah.
Because they've got that kind of element of
rawness, realness.
Yeah. Obviously, we really pride ourselves on the production. We want to make it look as good as possible. But I still want the viewer to kind of feel like they're just part of a video. Mm. Like they're almost playing golf with us or playing, you know, traveling the world. So it's a real nice point to be into. But we are looking to increase the amount of content. We've got more ideas than ever before. And we will get to a point where we're releasing much more regularly. So hopefully you're going to be excited about that. But like I say, we are doing our best to get everything up and running.
Can I ask you one last question before we turn the podcast off? How are you enjoying your Prime Energy brought to you by Logan Paul and KSI?
Well, I finished it.
Oh, wow.
That was good. I feel energized, refreshed, carbonated through the burping, and electrolyzed.
And if, so for example, if KSI and Logan Paul don't reach out this next week and offer a sponsorship.
They obviously watch the podcast.
Of course they do, but if for any reason they decide they don't want to sponsor us, but then like Red Bull got in touch or Monster got in touch, would you then say they were the best energy drink you've ever had? Could you be bought, is what I'm saying?
Yes.
So KSI and Logan Paul would like to be
sponsored.
You've
got a weak opportunity.
If they don't come on board, Red Bull, hello. If they don't come on board, Monster, hey. If they don't come on board, Caribou, you're my favourite. Tyson Fury, leave your energy drink. You look crap. Sorry, Tyson.
Or next week's episode might be sponsored by Tap Water.
Yeah, probably.
Guys, thanks for watching, listening. Make sure you subscribe. We're fast growing this channel. Nearly quarter of a million subscribers. Thank you so much. Thanks for everyone's support. Loads of videos coming your way soon. And that's it. Done. Prime.
If you're primed, I've got a camera now. This is not bad, this, is it?
Good episode. See you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.